That. Man, I love that song. Name's Duncan, by the way. You're back on another episode of Federalism in a Nutshell. I'm on air today with Jay Shilley and Matt Selecki, and we have quite the episode in store for you today. We're going to start our episode by taking a question from a lucky caller.
Yeah, just give us a ring and we'll answer your federalism questions for you.
And here we go. Caller number 7, you are on air with Federalism in a Nutshell. What's your question for us today?
Hey, Jay, huge fan of the show. So, I got a question. Could you explain how the appropriate balance of power between national and state governments has been interpreted differently over time?
Sure, well, let's get into it.
Excellent question. Who wants to start us off? Selecki, what do you have to say?
Well, first of all, I think it's worth mentioning that the interpretation of the 10th and 14th Amendments, the Commerce Clause, the Necessary and Proper Clause, and other powers is still today at the center of the debate over the balance of power between national and state governments.
Exactly. It is important to note that the interpretation of the Constitution is always and still is changing. It just depends on the federal government and their interpretation. The first example can be seen in McCulloch v. Maryland of 1819, in which Maryland attempted to tax the National Bank. The Supreme Court declared that Maryland was unable to do that as it interferes with Congress's law, which was passed under the Necessary and Proper Clause.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Jay. This is a broad interpretation of the Constitution and the Necessary and Proper Clause. The Supreme Court expanded the Congress's power with this decision. This decision basically puts national laws over state and local governments.
Yeah, that makes sense. Selecki, is there another example of balance of power changing between the federal and local governments through the Supreme Court decisions?
Yes. There is, Duncan. In 1995, the Supreme Court heard United States v. Lopez. Basically, Lopez brought a concealed weapon to a school and was arrested. Congress states that they had the power to prevent guns in school zones through the Commerce Clause, as they claimed it affected interstate commerce. The Supreme Court found this incorrect, as they do not have the power to ban guns under the Commerce Clause.
Exactly. Jay, care to explain how this affected the balance of power between federal and
local? Yeah, sure. Well, this case was a strict interpretation of the Constitution, which limited Congress's power. They had a strict interpretation of the Commerce Clause. Now, Lopez still broke the law, but it wasn't under the Commerce Clause because it was under the Necessary and Proper Clause. This limited Congress's power and introduced a new time for federalism that recognized the importance of state and local sovereignty.
Perfect. That makes sense. And like Selecki said earlier, the debate over the balance of power between national and state and local governments is still going on today. It all depends on who is currently sitting on the Supreme Court and their decisions and cases. That's all the time we have today for Federalism in a Nutshell. Tune into part 3 next week, where we will be discussing the distribution of powers among the federal government.
Have a good one, folks.
See you guys later.